Guys, welcome back to the All for God Soul Deo Gloria podcast. Today we have an awesome guest. Mr. Mack, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent, Chloe. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm super excited to have you on the podcast. But before we get started, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
So my name is Alfonso Mack. I'm currently on staff with 820 Church in Bowling Green as a pastor in training. I graduated from BGSU in 2016. I played football there, and I actually became a Christian during my time playing football in my sophomore year. And I joined and was a part of FCA during my time as well as being a part of 820 Church. And through my time being in FCA, I was able to actually meet Rex Stump, which is really cool that you know him as well. And so, yeah, I'm currently married, been married for 3 years now to my wife, Catherine. And, yeah, we live in Bowling Green. I'm originally, though, from South Bend, Indiana, and my wife is actually from Shelby Township, Michigan. So, yeah, we're from different places, but yeah, that's pretty much who I am. That's a little bit about myself.
Awesome. And you said that you became saved while you were playing football. And I was just curious, you know, if it was the FCA that led you to become a Christian. What exactly led you to become a Christian and become saved while you were in college?
Yeah, so I grew up in the early parts of my life, I did not grow up in a Christian home. But like we talked about God every now and then. But when I was around like 7 or 8, my parents separated. And when they separated, my mom actually became a Christian shortly after that. So we started to go to church. And during that time of us going to church, I started to hear about Jesus and who God was and hear the gospel. And I would say I had many experiences with God and throughout my time in middle school and high school, but I was definitely not a follower of Christ. I was really far off, kind of living for myself, looking for satisfaction in almost anything you can think of. So whether that was sports or getting good grades in school, or that was friendships or dating relationships, all those things, I was looking for satisfaction, but I was still really empty on the inside. I was actually really depressed going through middle school and high school, and just was just really empty. And so a lot of that carried itself into my time in college. And even though that was like the case for me, I would have always said like, oh yeah, I'm a good person, and that the way to make it to heaven would just be to do enough good. But once I actually got to college, my whole first year, I didn't even attend a church at all, even though I actually grew up church after my mother became a Christian. And then going into my sophomore year of college, I actually met a teammate of mine, and his name is Ronnie Goble. And Ronnie is a dear friend of mine till this day. So Ronnie was a senior at that time, and I was a freshman, redshirt freshman. So it was really my sophomore year, but my freshman year on the football field. And Ronnie was the guy on our team who everyone would look at and say, when you hear the saying, what would Jesus do? It was always, what would Ronnie do? Because Ronnie was the guy on the team who actually knew Jesus, and he lived it out, and everyone knew that. And so one day in the summer, and this kind of leads into how I actually came to know Jesus. One day in the summer, after a long, hot day during training camp, I had just found out Ronnie had gotten married before we started training camp that summer. And so he was sitting outside, right? He was actually sitting on one of the benches inside of our in the SIBO Center. And so I decided, I'm like, I want to go talk to this guy. We seem like we have some similarities. I would have said I was a good kid, so I'm like, I think we can get along. But I was kind of really curious though, because I'm like, why would this guy be married playing college football? He seems pretty young, and it makes no sense. And so me being the kid that I was at the time, this young guy in college, I sat down next to him, and we just had a really great conversation. We started talking about church and how we grew up and all these kinds of things. And I was telling about my experiences, but I was, like I said, at the time I was kind of far off from following Jesus, but he ends up inviting me to FCA Bible studies for athletes on our campus. And then he started. So those things started literally 2 weeks after training camp when the school year started. I decided I'm going to just show up. And so I went to a church for the first time. And it was an amazing experience, even though it was a little bit of culture shock for me, because I actually grew up in inner city South Bend, Indiana, where a majority of people in my church congregation were of color or black. And so going into a church setting where most people look the opposite of you was a little bit different. But when I actually showed up to H2O and when I showed up to the FCA Bible studies, I was around people who were my age that were all in and trying to pursue Jesus. And so after my first meeting, I was like, this was awesome. And so I started going every single week after that year as a sophomore. And it was crazy. And this is kind of let you know that, like, you can see like the power of God working in my life. I actually had a class. So FCA, I think, started at 7. I had a class that went until about 7:15, 7:30. And most college students, most athletes, like if they have a class in the middle of something that starts, more than likely they're just going to go home. But I enjoyed the people so much and experienced so much love from them. I was like, I just want to go. So I would show up late every single week and just dive in. And through the course of that semester as a sophomore, I started to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ more and more. And then going into the second semester, I fully surrendered my life. And just hearing the message of Jesus, that the only way to salvation is through repenting and believing in Christ. And that, you know, Christ going to the cross, he went because of my sin. And it just shows how much love that God actually has for humanity to go and die for people like me. And knowing that I could not have saved myself, that no amount of good works could ever save me, knowing that Jesus and his perfection had to do it, literally just transformed my heart and my mind. And I was like, I need to give everything over to Jesus. And so I ended up doing that going into my second semester of my sophomore year. And a lot of that came from the fact that I actually started to hang around Christians. I started to hear them talk about Jesus. I started to see their life. And I'm like, they have something that I just do not have. And it is a deep relationship with Christ and God the Father. And so I was like, I just want to go all in. And so that's what happened to me during my time in college and how I became a Christian.
Yes, that's very interesting. And actually, that's very similar to kind of what happened with my dad, is that he grew up in a family where they went to church a lot, and he went to a private Catholic school, but he never really was completely following Christ until he was in college. Then he started going to FCA stuff, and so I thought that was kind of very funny of how similar it was. Maybe not funny, but just incredible how, like, similar it was.
Yeah.
Very similar. And you said that you did end up going through a period. You were redshirted. I think that's what you said it's called, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And my dad went through that as well. And this, I'm going to be completely honest, I'm not that much into football, so I don't really know much about it.
No, that's totally okay.
But I'm just curious to know if you want to share a little bit about what your thoughts were when you were going through that time period and what you did to, you know, get through it.
Yeah. So what I can do is kind of just share what it was like being. So actually, this is a side note. I went, when I got to BG, I was a preferred walk-on. So I was playing sports as a walk-on who didn't have a scholarship. And so because of that, you kind of go under the radar and people don't treat you that well. So that time period was actually really hard for me. I had a lot of fun my first few years, but it was really hard because I really wanted to play on the field and in games. But being a walk-on and being young, you don't really get an opportunity. And it was just really hard just not having a scholarship. I just remember during that time period, I before even knowing Jesus, I had always had a hard – I always worked really hard just because I grew up in a home where my mom and dad both were hard workers. And so because of that, that was a part of what I had going into college. And so even being redshirt at the time where I'm not playing, I wanted to work as hard as I could to become bigger, faster, and stronger in order to play. And a lot of that carried itself all throughout my time in college. But what actually ends up happening for me in college was I after I came to know Jesus, I didn't actually, nothing really changed for me in terms of football right away at all. I actually went through a really hard time and season where I was really kind of angry with God as to why I wasn't playing or why I wasn't starting. And it was really tough because I had to come to the grips that, you know, God himself doesn't owe me anything. Just because we follow Jesus doesn't mean that we're owed him to give us what we ask him for. The only thing that, because of sin, the reality of sin is that sin separates us from God. It separates us from each other. And so because sin separates from God and the wages of sin is death, is what Romans tells us. It's like I only really should expect to die or be punished for my sin. But God is always gracious to us and giving us what we don't deserve. And so once I came to grips with that, it made it a lot easier for me to just realize that being able to be on the football team in general was just a huge gift from Jesus himself. And something that whether or not, I know that knowing Christ is so much better, is so much more satisfying than whether or not I ever play in my life. And so that was what got me through the early years of college, being a walk-on who was redshirted, to even the end of college where I was blessed enough to actually earn a scholarship and become a starter towards the end of my career by God's grace. And all in all, one thing I will share for any young athlete is remembering that the sport that you might look to for all of your satisfaction.
All right. Sorry about that, you guys. We had some technical difficulties there, but we're back, and that does happen sometimes, but no worries. We're going to just keep talking about it, and just so you guys can remember, we were talking about your experience, Mr. Mack, when you were going through the time period when you were redshirted.
Yeah. So I don't remember the exact last thing that you heard me say, but I know that when I was getting towards the end, one of the biggest things I just wanted to share with any athlete that's out there listening, no matter who you are, is just remembering that whatever it is that you're seeking after in sport, just remember that your sport is only temporary. You can only play it for so long. Just remember that Jesus himself is literally lasts forever. And so who he is so much better than what a sport could ever give you, because that little feeling that you might have while playing a sport is just so short. But being with Christ, it literally lasts your entire life, even after you leave this planet. And so that's just something I wanted to share, something that I learned while I was playing football that actually helped me during my time of being a walk-on and being redshirt and all those things.
Yes, and a point that I want to go over again is something that you were saying earlier before we it cut out, but you were saying that we as sinners, we don't deserve to be given anything from God. And as Christians, I feel like that's something that a lot of times we can forget. I feel like a lot of times we can become very easily angered by God or be like, why aren't you letting me do this? Like, why aren't you letting my life go perfectly? Or something along those lines, because we forget that we aren't entitled to anything. If anything, we are entitled to, you know, go to hell. Like, we're not entitled to go live in heaven because we sinned. And because of that, you know, Jesus came. So now we have the ability, we have a chance that we can get to go to heaven as long as we put our trust in Jesus. So I think that's an important thing to go over, is that we aren't entitled to anything, and that we have been graced and we have been blessed by God that we can put our and one day live eternally in heaven with him. And that is just something very important that I wanted to point out, and that was a very good point you made. And as you were saying earlier, you didn't have the best time when you were younger. You weren't fully following Christ, and I feel like a lot of times that's what I've seen with a lot of people that I've talked to that say they're Christians. But a lot of times I can just tell by how they act, they're not fully putting their trust in Christ. They're doing a lot of things that aren't Christ-like, and I try to tell them about it. Sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't want to hear it. But I just want to know, you know, what are your thoughts for other teens who are listening that maybe deal with that? Maybe they believe that there's a greater God. They believe that Christ is out there and he died for us. And what I just want to know what your thoughts are on remembering that we have to still put our trust in Christ and try to live through him. What is your thoughts on, you know, trying to remember that?
Yeah, I think in terms of trying to remember that, is it actually comes with doing things that we call the spiritual disciplines. And so the spiritual disciplines are just the things that we do in order to grow in our relationship with Jesus and pursue him. And so so with that, that means that we would spend time in God's word, that we would spend time in prayer, that we would actually spend time in fellowship, that we would remember Christ through our local church context, and also partaking in stuff like baptism, or whether that's fasting, if you've ever heard of that and stuff, and what that looks like. But I think a huge one for young people is the importance of spending time in God's word. Spending time in God's word is literally one of the best places to be, as you get an opportunity to be able to hear and remember who God is. One of the craziest things that you read in the Old Testament that actually used to happen very often when God would take care of the Israelites is, and if you go read Exodus, they were in slavery and then he sets them free. But when they were wandering in the wilderness, a lot of the times what they would go and do is they would either go and complain, or they would actually go and start worshiping other gods and things like that. And one of the things the scriptures talk about often is that they forgot the Lord their God. They forgot who he was. They forgot what he had done for them. So it's very important for young people who want to follow Jesus to go and spend time in God's word so you can remember. Remembering is a part of helping us be more thankful. Remembering is a part of helping us remember who we are and who Christ has called us to be. And so with that, it's very, very helpful to go and understand how Jesus has called you to live, but also remember what Jesus has done for you. A lot of times what happens is, because of sin, just because of being human, we tend to forget, right? It's like we tend to forget. It's like God might have done one thing in my life, but we sometimes, when we're going through tough times, we end up forgetting. And those are when we forget who he is, it makes us turn away. But one of the things that we must always be remembering, especially, is just what he's done through the gospel of Jesus Christ and sending Jesus to the cross for us. And also Jesus's resurrection, and just how powerful that is, knowing that we get to participate in that as well. And so for anyone that's young, I would say get a great group of friends around you who can point you towards Jesus. Get you a great group of friends around you that you can read the scriptures with. And then also in your own life, find a way to spend time reading the Bible daily if you can. So whether that means even you might read a verse a day, or whether that means you read a chapter a day, find time to spend time in God's word so that you don't forget how good he is and what he's done for you. Because it's all over the scriptures about how he is literally taking care of humanity, how he is literally wired and shaped every last one of us, how he provides for even the birds of the air, and how he provides for the fish, how he provides for literally us with bread and food to satisfy the heart. He talks about that. The psalmist actually talks about that in Psalm 104. And so there's just so many things that you can do as a young person that can actually help you remember how good Christ is.
Definitely. And we are so blessed in America, especially with how many different tools that we have to just study the Bible, or just things that we can use to become closer to God. I mean, of course, we have our Bibles, and we can get, you know, there's apps for reading the Bible if maybe you're going somewhere and you don't have a lot of room, or there's devotionals. There are so many different, like, places, and a lot of churches have, like, youth groups for teens, and there's just so many different things, and, you know, there's just, it's just incredible, and that's why, you know, a lot of times it can be easy to forget how many different ways that we have that we can use to go back to God. And a lot of times we think we become so caught up in how much evil has entered the world that we forget about that there still is good. There still is plenty of ways that we can go back to God and remain strong in our faith with Him.
That's great.
And one thing, we were just talking about something that teens can struggle with is, not putting their faith in God as a teen or child and instead waiting until they're older. But I want to know, what is one other thing that you think is really hard for teens that they struggle with a lot in our modern society and why?
Yeah, I think a huge thing that we see in our modern society, especially with teens, is I would say almost two things, and they kind of go hand in hand. It's peer pressure, and that includes like the fear of missing out. So it's like, hey, all my friends are living this kind of way. They're living contrary to God. They're doing things that aren't godly. They're consumed with social, and I think a lot of that comes down with being consumed with social media. And what you see there is what you desire. I think that's a really huge thing that's actually taken away from youth being able to actually want to go all in, because you have people who might seem very popular that are doing things that that might seem fun in the moment, but actually they really aren't. And so I think just having other people around you who could be bad influences is a huge thing for teens. That was a huge one for me. A lot of the friends that I had in middle school and even high school actually were not following Jesus. And so it was so much easier to try to blend in with them and to be with them, because everyone, no matter who you are, wants to feel like they belong. They want to feel like they're a part of a group. And so what that means is you end up adopting some of the things that other groups might be doing in order to fit in. Which makes it really hard to want to follow Jesus when you're a part of a group of friends or people who are doing things contrary to the way God, Christ has called them to. So I think that's like a really huge one, is just like peer pressure. And then alongside with peer pressure, I think is just the desires that you see that come from social media for what a fulfilled life looks like. I think that, and that's why I said they go hand in hand with peer pressure, because some of that can happen. But, a lot of the world in social media points out like, hey, if you have enough money, if you have cars and if you have fame and all these kinds of things, if people consider you cool, like how many followers do I have on Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat or, TikTok, the list goes on and on. All those things make it really hard, because it's selling you something that says these things are what will satisfy your life. But the thing about it is those things are just so small and minute to actually satisfy people. That's why you can see people who might have tons of friends on social media still feel depressed. They can have tons of friends who like their photos and all these things that make it really hard. And I think that those things cause so much dysfunction in the lives of teens. And then sometimes too, this is another one I just randomly thought of, is it can be really hard for a teen to want to actually follow Christ when they don't actually have an example in their family of someone that's doing that as well. So that's just another one that I thought of too.
And I think those are all definitely things that a lot of teens struggle with. But going off of the peer pressure one, is something I want to add on to that is a lot of times when you get so caught up in, trying to turn yourself into something that you think other people will want, you find yourself in a bit of an identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Because instead of trying to find your identity through Christ and through Jesus, same person, but I think that you're instead trying to find your identity through earthly things, things that aren't going to matter in the future. They're not going to matter when you stand in judgment before God. He's not going to care how many followers you have on Instagram. He's not going to care if you are in a popular friend group at your school or whatever. He doesn't care about those things. He cares that you try to live your life for Him, that you're trying to bring glory to Him through everything that you're doing. So I think that's important, to find your identity through Christ. And off the social media point, I think that, so many times we get so caught up in trying to get, like you said, becoming popular or, like getting a bunch of friends on social media or whatever. But a lot of times, that's the people that are you call your friends on social media, a lot of them you might not even know. So it's just it's crazy to me that, a lot of people they think that if you have a lot of people that follow you on social media, if you're popular, then you're gonna have so much fun in life. Or if you have a lot of money, then your life is just gonna be perfect. But that's just not it. And you can see that a lot of people who have become, what we consider famous, who have a lot of money, a lot of them are really depressed and they don't have many friends and they end up making bad life decisions because they're not living through Christ, they're living through earthly things. And that's something important that we should always remember in everything that we're doing. And what was that last thing that you pointed out that
Oh,
you think?
just family. Not having examples in your own family that are walking and following Jesus.
That can be hard too if you don't have. I mean, I'm so blessed that I get to grow up in a Christian household where my mom and my dad are constantly trying to set the right example for me and my sisters. But if you aren't growing up in a Christian household, then there are other ways that you can have Christian influencers. I mean, there's people like there are good people that we consider famous that are great people to listen to and follow. And I would recommend, like the Robertsons. I mean, they have a lot of great stuff and the FCA. Those are some programs or people that you can go and you can follow, or the FCA has camps that you can go to. And I think those would be great ways to spend your time because there you're going to have a lot of people who are trying to, put their identity on Christ, and they're going to be trying to set the right example for other people to follow. So that was just something that I wanted to point out and add on to that. And you are an athlete, as we've said a lot here. And as an athlete, I know personally, since I do basketball a lot, it can be so easy to lose yourself in your sport and, not focus on God. It can be so easy to do that. And I just want to know what would be your advice for remaining strong in your faith and reminding yourself that God has given you the ability, He has given you the gift to do what you're doing, instead of forgetting and thinking that you got there on your own and that you didn't really need God to help you. What would be your advice for dealing with that?
I think one of the things that I think about often is when the scriptures talking about all good things come from God. And then even too in Ephesians chapter 2 and when Paul's talking about even when you come to faith, it's like you have been saved by grace through faith alone. And essentially he says at the end of that, so that no one may boast. He's like, this is not of your own doing, so that no one may boast. And so what is this? What is he saying? He says that who you are and what you have, especially as a follower of Jesus, has been given to you by God so that you may not boast, meaning you didn't earn it on your own. You didn't have it on your own. And so even when it comes to being in a sport, I think one of the biggest things for young athletes is just remembering that like what you have has literally been gifted to you by God himself. And you can see that because why? There's tons of people on this planet who might desire to play a sport, who might desire to be really good at it, but do not have the gifts and abilities or even the physical stature to be good. But there are some who, God is gifted with the ability to actually be good, the ability to work hard so that they become even better. And so it's just remembering that where did you get that from? Yeah, you might have worked hard. But who gave you the ability to be able to work hard? God did, because why? He didn't have to give you two legs and 2 feet and hips and a lungs to breathe in order to be able to do what you do. It's like, and I think that is a huge thing to remember is that like all things come from God alone, and it's like that you couldn't have done it on your own, and He puts the right people in your life. He gives you the right circumstances that allow you to be where you are. And so I think that that is really helpful when it comes to trying to walk in that as a young athlete, so that you don't get lost in your sport. And then also too, just remembering that, you know, all glory has to be given back to God who created all things. And so, and that is just to give him what is his to you. So we honor him for it. You know, it's just like that, an example I think about that is when we think about like the iPhone, for prime example, we look at the iPhone and we say, oh man, this phone is great. But what a lot of people end up doing, they end up saying, oh man, who created the iPhone though? That person should deserve all the credit for it, right? All the time when people even think about Facebook, oh, but Facebook is great, but guess who gets a lot of the praise for Facebook? Mark Zuckerberg. It's because he created it. And so that same concept applies even more to the God who fashioned every single element of your body, who knit it in your mother's womb, as Psalm 139 talks about. And so it's just like, it's just remembering that like God himself is the one who gave you every good thing that you have, and he deserves all the glory for it. And then what that does is it just gives you freedom to know that regardless of what you do in that sport, regardless of how you perform in that sport, your identity is not in the sport. Because if your identity is in your sport and how well it goes, guess what happens? You change all the time. It's either your life is dictated by how your sport is going. So it's like if you're hurt and you're injured and you can't play, guess what happens? You become sad. But let's say that you're hurt and you can't play, but you look at Jesus and you say that, like, oh my goodness, like having Jesus is so much better than my sport. I know that being hurt doesn't change who I am in the end, because I get to still be with him forever. And so those things are really helpful when it comes to being able to look at our sports and not get lost in it.
Yes, definitely. That is definitely true. And, you know, you're saying a lot of times people who are really good at a sport are because, one, they're very athletically gifted and they work really hard. So, I mean, one and two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God has given each of us a body, and he made each of us specifically for a very specific reason. So even if you maybe really want to do a sport, but maybe, you know, God just hasn't given you, you know, maybe what you would consider the right body type or the athleticism or whatever, maybe he made you to do something else. You know, there's so many different examples of people who haven't been able to do a sport perhaps, but they have been able to do something else with their life. And I can't think of the person's name right now, but there was a woman and she was born with brown eyes, and she prayed and prayed to God and she wanted blue eyes, but God had her have brown eyes. And he had it like that for a specific reason, because later in life she would pour coffee on her skin to make it darker, so that way she could go and she could be under disguise and she would preach to people in a different country and she would save children. And if she had had blue eyes, that wouldn't have been possible. So I think that, you know, God made each of us for a very specific reason, and he made each of us uniquely. None of us are better than the other. We are all equally made, and we're all special to God. So it doesn't matter, you know, if you have a super athletic body, if you are musically gifted, or if you're athletically gifted, God made you for a very specific reason, and mm-hmm. he's going to allow that to show throughout your life. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to add that on here as we wrap it up. But before we finish, we do have our last segment of the day, and that is our Would You Rather segment. And our first question here is going to be an interesting one, because I have three different options. So how the Would You Rather would work is it's just going to be like Would You Rather, but it's Bible themed, and you just pick one or the other, or in this case one okay. out of three. All right, our first one is, would you rather have gotten to eat manna from heaven or eat from the tree of life, and we're going to pretend like you're allowed to eat it in this instance, or would you rather have drink the water from the rock that Moses hit?
Wow, this is a really tough one. Oh my goodness. I think if I had to choose, I would probably go with, oh, this is tough. I think I would maybe try the Tree of Life.
Interesting. And why would you choose that one?
Because I was this when I think about the garden and you know at the beginning when God forbid them to not eat from it, I would love to know how good that apple actually is if it wouldn't have led to sin. So
Yeah.
I was like, how good was the apple really?
I
But
know.
in the right context, that's why.
Yeah, and it's how good. I mean, that's something I'm curious about as well. How good it was that fruit that they ate. And so, yeah, you probably won't figure that out, but find that fascinating to figure out. And it does say in Genesis somewhere, I don't know what the specific verse or wording was, but it says that it looked appetizing. So I'm assuming it was probably pretty good. I mean, I would think so, but who knows? Personally, I love bread a lot, so I would think maybe I would eat the manna, because I don't know. I don't know which one I would choose. There's just so many different options that there are there.
Yeah, and it's Genesis chapter 3. It says that it said the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at. And it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So it looked good.
That's what I was saying. Would you rather have seen the Red Sea parted or have seen Jesus walk on water?
Ooh, I think I would have rather have seen the Jesus walk on water.
Same. And why would you pick that?
I don't know why, but when I think about it sounds weird, but in my own head, they're both miracles, but seeing a person stand on water without sinking is legit more mind blowing to me. Not saying that part of the Red Sea isn't mind blowing, because it's absolutely mind blowing that it parted all the way to the bottom of the sea floor as the way it's described in the scriptures. And so it's like, oh yeah, literally they were walking on the sea floor as God parted it, which is amazing. But I think someone walking on the water would have been amazing to see. I would love to see Jesus do that.
I would have picked, though, I think I probably would have picked that as well. And as awesome as I think, I just find this fascinating to think about. But if you really think the Red Sea is parted, you could probably see the fish just swimming right by. And I think it'd be fascinating to see that as well.
Yeah,
but
they'd both be great.
Pick seeing Jesus walk on water, because you're seeing like the physical body of Jesus, God, walking on the water. So as great as both the miracles are, you can actually like legitimately see Jesus performing the miracle. Whereas, you know, the Red Sea, obviously that's just incredible, but you don't necessarily exactly see, you know, God or Jesus standing there, you know, parting it. So I think that's probably why I would pick the second choice.
Yeah, definitely. That's great.
Okay, our third one is, would you rather have had to have lived through having leprosy or being blind?
Oh, wow. I think I would have rather... Oh, this is my... Normally people don't like this, but I'm going to ask it. Is this one of those where if I had either one, does Jesus heal me of it?
Well, we're going to say, I'm going to say no for this.
Oh, okay. So if I had to choose, I think I would have rather have been blind. And the reason being is because when you had leprosy, it almost denigrates the skin. And it was to a point where, like, you might even have lost some body parts, so that might even been a nose. But what happens is people in society really look down at you so much that they would have not have wanted to actually deal with you at all. And so you were considered very low if you had leprosy. So I think I would rather have been blind. At least if I'm blind, people don't look at me and say, well, they're too disgusting, I don't want to be around them. As sad as it would have been to have had leprosy.
I think I would pick being blind as well, because I feel like if you're blind, I mean, obviously I don't know, but I feel like it wouldn't necessarily, I mean, I honestly have no idea. I have no idea. Perhaps it does hurt your eyes if you're blind, but if it doesn't hurt much when you're blind, but leprosy is extremely painful. I'm sure I've seen for school when you were learning about diseases, I saw a picture of a person with leprosy, and I was just like, oh my gosh, that has to be so painful if you had that. And I feel like, I don't feel like I would want to have that. So I wouldn't want to have either one of those diseases, but I'd probably pick being blind over having leprosy.
Yeah.
Now, our last would you rather question. Would you rather have had dinner with Paul or Moses?
Wow. I think I would, oh my goodness, this is a tough one. I think I would have rather have had dinner with Paul, even though I love the idea. They're a real close tie for me, but I think more so Paul, only because I would love to sit down with Paul and ask him about his missionary journeys.
I think, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Well, I think that, I don't know who I'd pick, but I feel like they're both so incredible people that God used. And, you know, Paul went from this person who is murdering Christians to becoming somebody who is sticking up for them and became one of them. And he became one of the boldest, you know, Christians ever, like how boldly he spoke about Christ. And then all of his missionary journeys are incredible. And I think I'd love to hear a story about how he went from such a sinner to putting his trust in Jesus. And then also, I think Moses would be so interesting because he wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, and obviously he wasn't around in the very beginning. So, you know, for God to have given him the ability, like having breathed the weird words through him to have them written down like that, I just think that'd be incredible to hear about that experience.
Yeah. And
I know this is kind of off topic, but I just want to talk about Moses for a second because I think that it's so fascinating that some people think that he wrote all of the Bible, but I think that that's crazy because they say that he wrote the Bible because he wanted to become like God. But you see in the Bible, he shows that he himself is sinning. So I think that's weird that people would, you know, assume that. And I just thought that'd be something fascinating to add in there. But Moses just has such an incredible story. And I think it'd be incredible to get to have dinner with either one of those people.
Yeah, but totally. I don't
know. That'd be crazy, incredible, and amazing.
Yeah, it would.
We're going to have to wrap this up here, Mr. Mack, but thank you so much for joining us. It has been incredibly fun, and we always love having new guests. And for all you guys listening, make sure you check out any of the past episodes, and make sure that you share this with your friends. It is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, and Breaker. So there's plenty of platforms to listen to. And if you want to tell me what you think of the podcast, you can go on Anchor and you can message me, give me a voice message on there, or you can message me on Instagram at All For God Soul Deo Gloria and tell me what you think and who you think would be a great guest. Thank you guys for listening, and remember, and all you do it all for God's glory.